Why? It's a pretty good question. Why? Here's a better question. Why not? Right? Why not? Well, even better. Why not you? I mean, seriously, why not you? You're capable, you're worthy, you're worth it. Here's the most powerful question of all from Jim Rohn in his series of why questions. So we started with why not you? And finally, the most important and maybe most fundamental question you could ask yourself today, why not now?
Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy, you're always riding. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping in the nosebleeds.
It's showtime.
Yes, it is live from Homer, Alaska. I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Chris Story, and this is your Millionaire Minute. Can you save your way to a fortune? Well, the short answer is no. The longer answer is yes. See, you have to be able to play the game to build a fortune in your own backyard. That means you've got to be able to manage your credit, and this means using credit cards and loans securely and smartly. And you have to be able to save money. Without any savings or a rainy day account, the first change in weather could take you out of the game completely. But can you save your way to a fortune? No. You can invest your way to a fortune using some of your money and a whole lot of other people's money. Yes, you really can live and grow rich right where you are with what you've got. From the Backyard Millionaire, I'm Chris Story. Thank you for being here with me today. I want to thank also Horizon Wireless for helping bring this show to you. Horizon Wireless, 226-3130, 226-3130, Horizon Wireless. If you want the best upload and the best customer service and download, the whole nine yards, what a wonderful company. Truly, I just got a testimonial from a client who I'd referred to Horizon Satellite months ago, almost 2 months ago to be exact, and they'd gone a different route, and I found out last week they were still waiting. And I said, you're still waiting? What? They said, well, we didn't end up going with Horizon. And I said, well, then you've gone nowhere. And in fact, they'd gone nowhere real fast over the course of 2 months. They put in a call to Horizon the next day, without exaggeration, the next day installation. 226-3130 Horizon Wireless. It's vinyl time. Did you grow up in a world that you don't recognize? You don't see your world, the world you grew up in, you don't see here today. Maybe you don't recognize what's around you today, or you the frog that's been boiled very, very slowly. And maybe it isn't until we pull back just a little bit and you go, wait a minute, this really is different. I grew up in a world that I'm so grateful for having been a kid in an era without the internet. And that can sound weird maybe because we're so accustomed to it, all of us. I get that. I use the internet every day, constantly, but I'm so grateful to have been a child of the 70s and 80s without internet, without that constant connectivity, without the electronic leash, without all of the dangers that are out there. Can you imagine being a kid today and having an argument? Boom, settled right now. I just Googled it. You're wrong. We used to go months, like we believed for months on end that Mikey had died from eating too many Pop Rocks. Months. Good old-fashioned urban legends like, internet subs, that's a joke. But seriously, we were able to imagine a different world. We had opportunities that still exist today, but you have to seek them out. Here's what I love. I love that young people, and when I say young, I'm talking in their 20s, low 30s or 20s, that are actually really finding beauty in the imperfect sound of vinyl, and they're collecting vinyl records. I love AM. You can listen to this program on AM or FM. I choose AM wherever I am, if I can get AM radio. I just prefer it. I love the sound of it. It's not as perfect. It's not as clear. It's not as perfectly formatted as FM, but I don't care. I like, you know, when I was a kid, I collected live albums because they were imperfect, because of their idiosyncrasies, because it was a little different. I just loved that rendition. Live in London, live in LA, you can hear the crowd, you can hear the little bit of a scratch. We're never going to put Pandora back in her box. That's not what this is about, and we're never going to. But I think we can take some action. I think we can take some time to slow life down just a little bit. Vinyl time, in your own way. Maybe it's not music. Maybe it's a paperback book. Maybe it's a walk on the beach without your phone. Maybe it's a hike in the woods, and guess how many selfies you take? Zero. You're in the moment. You're present. A moment of reflection with your family. See, vinyl times, times like these are real and lasting.
Grandpa, tell me about them good old days. Sometimes it feels like this world's gone.
When I was in the eighth grade, academically speaking, I was a hot mess. I would take that hot mess all the way with me to the high school. Freshman year, didn't know what I wanted to do. Didn't care about reading, didn't care about math, didn't know much about either. I could do both, but didn't care. And along comes a guy called Jack Walsh. And I just happened to be one of the few freshmen that got into the pottery program at the high school. And I met Jack. And Jack instilled something in me that I'm ever grateful for all these years later, 30-some-odd years later. I'm still grateful for that moment where he took an interest in me taking an interest in pottery. And he looked at me and he gave me a reputation to live up to. And he said to me, he looked me right in the eyes and he said, you get it. This is for you. He didn't have to say that. He did. And it changed my life. He was a teacher that I became friends with all 4 years of high school and beyond. Still friends to this day. What's the name of one teacher in your life that's made the biggest influence on you? Can you think back to that one teacher? It's time for your Mind Bender, presented by Captain's Coffee and CaptainsCoffee.com. For the greatest coffee on planet Earth, go to CaptainsCoffee.com. Order a bag of the breakfast blend, Fisherman's Blend. Do yourself a favor. Get it delivered right to your door, CaptainsCoffee.com. Share with me the name of a school teacher that made a difference, or a teacher or a mentor that made a difference in your life and had a huge influence on and over your life, maybe even to this day. 299-7653. Who's that teacher for you? You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Christopher Storey here along with Mr. David Becker, filling in for our vacationing Mr. Webb the Eagle. He's out on an island off the coast of Venezuela. Hope he, two parts of me exist. One part of me hopes he has an incredible time. The other part of me hopes he's getting sunburnt. That's the jealous part, if you didn't notice. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the quality of life that makes a difference no matter what game you're playing, and some tips on speaking to win when we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Storey. You can find me at ilovehomeralaska.com, ilovehomeralaska.com. This program, our Backyard Millionaire radio show and podcast, all available there, all three of my books, and you can start your search for property anywhere in Alaska at ilovehomeralaska.com. Our question today brought to you by captainscoffee.com, custom roasted. Don't forget that the beans that the Prowse family collects and has farmed for them, they fair trade. The farmers are not only known by the Prowse family, they're known to them and they trade fairly. So this is not just a good cup of coffee, but it'll make you feel good in every possible way. Captainscoffee.com. The question is, what's the name of one school teacher or mentor, someone in your life that had the biggest influence on your life and you still remember them to this day? 299-7653. As I was saying earlier, Mr. Walsh, Jack Walsh, put his hand on my shoulder, looked me in the eye, and he had a very intense look about him. And he said, "You get this. You get this." And I did. I instantly had centered the ball of clay on the wheel, and it did. It came as natural as swimming to a fish, and I became just probably one of the greatest potters of all time. Just kidding. But it did. It came natural, and I loved it. But it truthfully, if it hadn't been for his words, if it hadn't been for his mentorship, I'm not sure that I would have discovered quite the depth of joy that I would end up having. And for 33 years, I guess it is, 34 years, I've been making pottery. Still make it just for my own self now, and a handful of people. The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor, said Vince Lombardi. The quality of your life is in direct proportion to your commitment to excellence, regardless of your chosen field of endeavor. That word excellence is a tall order. That's a big word. Because, see, excellence really doesn't allow any excuses whatsoever. It doesn't tolerate you being a victim, because excellence rises above. It requires you rise above victimhood. Anything that's gone on before is only there to make you better and to stand upon to rise. When Vince Lombardi arrived at Green Bay, he said, and this is a direct quote, "About half of the players are giving 100% most of the time. But in order to win, it'll take all of you giving 100%, 100% of the time." Are you interested in speaking publicly? If you're like most people, probably not. But it's a topic that you need to at least think about a little bit, because at some point in your life, you're going to have to be in front of an audience, in front of a group. Sometimes people get nervous even in front of one or more people they don't know, or a handful, a room full, an office full of people. Maybe they get nervous. You might be that person. I want to help you speak to win. This next segment's called Public Speaking Made Easy. Hence the easy groove taking us into it. Yeah. Nice little bass walk. Lower the lights. Pull up the spotlight. Put it right here. Right here on me. Never have I... That's not something that I'm sure I understand is why I enjoy public speaking, but I do, and I love to share with people little tips and tricks that I've either come across or I've gone to seminars, I practice this, I study it, I read books, and so to me, I'm not saying it comes easy, but I like it. I like it a lot. Like, I'm the kind of guy that would rather be invited to speak on stage than come see a performance of some kind. You know what I mean? Like crowds, I'm a little bit uncomfortable in crowds, unless I'm in front of a crowd. But crowds themselves make me feel uncomfortable. It's a weird dichotomy. But public speaking made easy. Here's what I think. I think that if you find something to like about every single person in the room, you'll find public speaking easy. In other words, if you like, you truly, genuinely like your audience, the audience will like you, and you have a much greater chance at getting your message across and being less nervous, less locked knees, sweaty palms, dry mouth. But genuinely, that's the trick of this, is it's no trick at all. It's genuineness. If you genuinely like who you're speaking to, even if it's a group of strangers, and if you speak with sincerity and from your heart, your style is irrelevant. I don't know, anybody watched James O'Keefe talk yesterday to his core group at Project Veritas, his final goodbye, where his explanation as to how he's being ousted from his own company? It was a hot mess. It was terrible. I mean, he's doing everything wrong. James O'Keefe violated every tenet of public speaking yesterday, every single one, and yet it was one of the most impassioned, impactful, moving speeches you'll see in modern history, in modern journalistic history, I should say. Truly, because it was sincere, and it was genuine, and it was from his heart. But a hot mess on tactics? Oh, no. All wrong. Doesn't matter. It was coming from his heart. And if you were watching, there's a really, really good chance you already liked him, and he likes you. And there was genuineness and sincerity there. Now, your appearance and style matter. So if you speak with sincerity and from the heart, style, I'm telling you, is irrelevant, but it still matters. You still want to work on it. You still want to be as effective as possible and gain some skills. You don't want to constantly rely on that you can be a hot mess if you're sincere. In your appearance, you should put in some effort. I mean, we can't all be George Clooney, but we can make an effort towards style and appearance. That will help you. Trust me, that will help you feel better. I've shown up to meetings in Seattle, California. I've shown up to meetings where I felt like, oh no, oh, look at me. Even in Anchorage, I remember doing a presentation about almost 20 years ago in Anchorage, and I felt so foolish when I read the room. I got up to the stage and I looked, and I was so underdressed to the rest of the room. I just felt so diminished until I got into my speaking, and then I forgot about it, but it still made it was there. So style and appearance do matter. But again, sincerity is king. By sincerely liking the people you're speaking with, you can't help but be liked. It's like on radio. You know what they teach for people that are in radio? Interested is interesting. If I'm interested in something, it will be interesting to you, even if it's something you don't care about. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever watched a program, or you've listened to somebody, you've talked to somebody, and they're so impassioned about something you could care less about, suddenly you find yourself caring, or at least paying attention and find it interesting because they're so impassioned about it. So interested is interesting, and that works from the stage as well. So be interested in your audience when you're speaking publicly, even if it's just two or three or four or more people, and I promise you they'll be interested in you.
Thank you.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I hope you'll tune in on Thursday for our Backyard Millionaire, How to Create Wealth Where You Are with What You've Got. Very special program. What I like about both of these radio programs is that at the essence of it, at the base of both of them, the foundation, the fundamentals of them both are you. You can do this. What is this? It's whatever you want to do. You can become who you want to become in this life. And kind of, I guess I'd ask you, what are you waiting for? Norman Cousins, great journalist that he was, said, death is not the greatest loss in life. No, the greatest loss is what dies within you while you're alive. Did you hear about the scorpion that was spotted on a British Airways flight from Texas to London? A scorpion, a live scorpion on the plane. Now, if I'd been on the plane, the next headline would have read something like this. Man spotted jumping out of a British Airways flight over the Atlantic. Film at 11.
There's a man out there.
What?
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
Classic Lloyd Bridges. Aesop on America. I love Aesop's fables. I want to quote from one. Thinking to get at all the gold at one time, and getting all the gold the goose had, he killed the goose. He opened it up only to find nothing. Getting all the gold at once, let's kill the golden goose. But truthfully, nothing was within it. And this reminds me of American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism is the golden goose. And if you cut it open, you cut her open in hopes of scooping out all the gold, all the eggs at once, you will find that you've not only killed the goose, but you'll be empty-handed.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. There's still time for you to enter to win a free coffee card at Captain's Coffee here in Homer, Alaska at captainscoffee.com. The question is, what's the name of one teacher that had a big influence on your life? If you want to share what that influence was, more the better. 299-7653, text in right now. Surely there was a teacher in your life where you can look back and go, man, I am so grateful. I had numerous. I mentioned Jack Walsh, my pottery teacher, but there was a gal called Kate Raitt, Barbara Browning, and more people that just made a big difference in my life. And I'm better off for it. What about you? 299-7653. I'm Chris Story. We're going to be talking about what you were doing 3,000 days ago and far out, man, when we return here to the top of the world. Stick around.
Next to you and defend her still.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm so grateful you're here. Chris Story, along with Mr. David Becker, the radio man himself, for 40-something years, been bringing news and music to Alaska from the top of the world to the bottom of the world and Delta Junction. No, that's the top of the world. Dutch Harbor on Alaska. I love you down in Dutch Harbor on Alaska. I know you're listening, and we love you. I had an experience there in 1991. It's the only reason I refer to it as the bottom of the world. Once in a while, I got stuck there because Mount Spur blew in Anchorage, and I was supposed to come home to my family, my wife and daughter, and they were waiting for me. It'd been a long adventure on the boat, and I just was so ready to go home, and we got diverted. We were just off the, just around the corner from Homer. I fell asleep in my stateroom, and when I woke up, we were out in the middle of nowhere. Gone to sleep, and we were on the backside of the mountains. Come awake a couple hours later, we're out in the middle of nowhere, nothing but sea all around us. What's going on? Oh, we were called down the Dutch to return the power vac. What? We were almost in Homer where my family was waiting for me. And so we had to drive all the way down to Dutch. Then Mount Spur blew. You want to hear a funny story? So we're in the airport. And the skipper that I had worked with, he was out of Seattle. And he was just a surly, sour, nasty guy. Just wasn't nice. So at one point, let me put it this way. One point, we're going into the cannery at Neck Neck. And I was going to go in and grab something. I don't remember what I was going in to grab. And I said, oh, do I look okay? And he looks me up and down. He goes, par for the course. I didn't understand. I was only 18, 19. I didn't understand what that meant. Only what I learned later. But, you know, he really was a surly person. He didn't take personal responsibility. The whole crew sort of, it was almost became a mutiny on the bounty type situation. And so we get to die. I mean, he's just mean. Let me just put it that way. And not a good mean. He wasn't even good at driving the boat. Hopefully he never went back. I don't know if he did or not. I didn't. Anyway, so we get into Dutch Harbor. We're getting into the airport. He's got a gun case, and it was a rifle, and he had it duct taped closed, and he was booking himself into Seattle. I was coming back up to Anchorage. And so he's in line ahead of me, and the gal says it's taking his like shotgun case, or it was a rifle case, and it's all taped up, like I said, with duct tape. I mean, thick wraps of duct tape all around it. And she says, do you have any ammunition in here? Which, of course, would be a no-no. And he said, no, I don't. And she says, okay. And I said, well, I said, should I tell you this? It's too late, right? It's too late. I'm too far into the story. So I say, Eric, what about the dynamite? Oh, here comes security. Here comes... It was like a federal case suddenly real, real quick. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. It's like too late. You've already said dynamite. So we were hauled away to a special room. They opened it up. They saw that obviously I was being an idiot. And life moved on. But that was funny. So affectionately, I refer to Dutch Harbor as the bottom of the world. But truthfully, you know out there that I love you. If paper beats rock, rock beats scissors, and scissors beats paper, well, what on earth would beat all three at the same time? Chuck Norris.
You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in your ability. You're capable of anything. You can achieve any dream. Please don't limit yourself. Don't live your life limited. Challenge, but you will succeed. Take control of how you feel in every circumstance. Work on yourself daily. Your story's far from done. The best is yet to come.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Just got a textual message from Dave Webb, the Eagle, down in Carousel off the coast of Venezuela. He said, tonight's dinner, filet mignon, lobster, Dungeness crab cakes for appetizers. Yeah. We love you, Dave, but stop already. Just stop. Ashley texted in that Mr. Kirby was a memorable teacher. That's funny. I had Gary Kirby as a sixth grade teacher myself. What about you? 299-7653. Who's a teacher that made a big difference in your life? It's funny, my parents remind me of the time that Mr. Kirby, and he was a teacher at the Christian school at that time before he moved over into the public school, and that's where I had attended, was at the Christian school. And he called my folks and said, Chris is disrupting the class. And he liked me, and we got along well, but he said, Chris is disrupting the class. And I said, well, what is he doing? At the time, there was some cartoon character, and I can't remember, but she wore like a coin on her forehead. She had like this medallion on her forehead. And so I stuck this, like I had a half dollar or something, and I like pushed it into my head, and it like stuck there. And I was like showing the class, and they were just laughing and not paying attention to what he was saying. And well, I don't know that teachers would call on that anymore, because I get to say I was identifying as a female superhero, in which case I might have been given an A+. I don't know. Far out, man. Let's talk about long-range goals and why they're important. I think long-range goals are way more important than short-range goals, and they lead one to the other. But if you do not have a stretch goal, if you're not looking out far enough, I'm afraid that what happens in the interim will take you off course completely. So let's talk about the basics of long-range goals and long-range planning. So number one, you need to stretch beyond your reach. One time, in 2007 or 8, Tiffany and I went to Las Vegas to see Jack Canfield. And Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul's fame, Success Principles, excellent book. I'm looking it out of my shelf right now here at the library in our studio. It's a fantastic, phenomenal book. You should have a copy of that as well. And he flew there in his own Falcon jet. We'll put it this way. Authors, you typically do not fly on their own Falcon jets. He did. So he's worth listening to on a few things. And in particular, he said he had the whole audience at one point stand up. So everybody, there's 2,000, I don't know, 2,500 people in this room, whatever. Everybody stood up, and he said, okay, I want you to take both your arms, reach as high as you can into the air. And we did. And then he let us stay there for a second, and then he said, now a little higher. And you could hear the room erupt in laughter, because every single person, probably to a man, to a woman, went a little higher. And he said, what's that about? I'd asked you to go as high as you could, and yet you had more there. So you need these stretch goals to help you reach beyond what you think is possible, just a little higher, a little further, a little farther. Number two, short-term circumstances can be overwhelming. So if you don't have long enough-term goals, if you're not thinking far out, man, then these short-term interruptions, circumstances can overwhelm you to a point where your future is so uncertain, you lose sight of what you even thought you wanted. Or you might even pass it by and go, was this what I wanted? So where do you want to go? You have to think long term, or the short term will overcome you. Number three, legacy. What are you leaving behind? What's the footprint? What's the fingerprint? What's the mark you want to make in this world? I doubt it's what you're doing tomorrow. It's a series of things that you're doing with an aim towards 10 years from now, 5 years from now, a year from now. It depends on your own time horizon on life, where you're at in the ladder of life. But it's farther out than this moment. Now, the juice is found right here. The good stuff of life is here in this moment, but always aiming there. Now, that's not where happiness doesn't live out there. Happiness lives here in the moment. But if you do not have a big enough stretch goal, if you're not thinking about the legacy when you leave, well, then you may not create as much health, as wealth, or prosperity as you want or could have in your life. So far out thinking will bring you more joy today, I promise you, and tomorrow. And this is coming from a firsthand experience. I've done both. I've gone through both phases of life where I'm thinking just day to day, this is it. I've got to make this many calls today. I've got to make this today. Boom. And then, oh, wait a minute. You look up from the grindstone. You go, wait a minute. Where am I at? I'm not in the middle of nowhere. How did I get here? I don't know. But those long-term goals will keep your eyes on the horizon, keep your eyes on the prize.
But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Because if you're willing to go through all the battling you gotta go through to get to where you wanna get, who's got the right to stop you? I mean, maybe some of you guys got something you never finished, something you really wanna do, something you never said, or something, something. And you're told no, even after you pay your dues. Who's got the right to tell you that? Who? Nobody. It's your right to listen to your gut. It ain't nobody's right to say no after you earned the right to be where you want to be and do what you want to do. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Here's a question. What are you waiting for? You know they're not coming for you, right? You have to go after what it is you want. Now, first of all, you have to know what it is you want, or at least an idea, a sketch of an idea of what you want. And then it's go. Just go, go, go. I truly believe you're only limited by what you believe. The close of my email, I have a quote just below my picture. Yeah, of course, it's business today. You have to have a picture. This is what it says below every email I send. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right either way. Henry Ford. So do you think you can? I do. I don't even have to see your plan. I remember I spent months building a business plan. Sat before a banker, knock-kneed, nervous. Obviously, the banker was as bored as could possibly be, staring at my, just flipping through the pages of this report. I'd spent months building a business plan. I spent months going through textbooks. This was going to be perfect. It was going to be the perfect plan, answering every single question he could possibly have. Just before he fell asleep, he said, "Do you have numbers in here, like projections and cost?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I do. It's the last page." Oh, that's what he flipped to, was the last page. And he said, "Okay, let's do it. What's the point? You have to know where you're going, and you have to go after it. They are not coming for you. Good plan, bad plan, no plan. Nobody's coming for you. You have to go after what it is you want." I was reading in Psychology Today about exercise and mental health. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And what were you doing 3,000 days ago? Well, we'll talk about that and much more when we return to the top of the world. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story along with Mr. David Becker. In a moment, I'm going to share with you research that connects exercise and mental health. Right now, I want to remind you, this is your last chance to enter to win a free coffee card. Not a discounted coffee, no, free coffee card. Not a cup of coffee, but a whole coffee card at Captain's Coffee, captainscoffee.com. Here's how you play the game. You text, message me the name of one school teacher that made a big influence in your life, on your life. Who was it? 299-7653, 907-299-7653. I always wonder when there's very few respondents. It's a question. Maybe it's not a compelling question, but that increases your odds of winning. So if you want to win, 299-7653. Who's that one school teacher? So evidence is in. It's been processed, and it comes to you from Psychology Today. Exercise promotes mental health. Obviously physical health, but mental health too. This is a large body of research, the article says, showing that exercise improves your mental health. Researchers combined thousands of studies about how exercise affects mental health symptoms in a review. More than 20 million adults in the U.S. experience depressive episodes each year. This is self-reported. Among youth, the incidence of depression and anxiety has increased significantly since the COVID-19 pandemic reaction began in 2020. The most common forms of treatment of depression are medications and talk therapy. But for a large body of evidence now that's been demonstrated and collected, that exercise is also effective in treating depression. In fact, some data show that regular exercise is just as effective as medications and therapy in reducing the symptoms of depression. There you have it, from Psychology Today. And what's it cost you to go for a walk? What's it cost you to go get outside? Do some push-ups, do some sit-ups, do some running in place, jumping jacks. Not very much. What were you doing 3,000 days ago? Do you know? Think about that. Take a moment. What is 3,000 days? 3,000 days ago. Well, I can tell you, I can't tell you. What is that, 10 years? It's almost 10 years. Jeff Reitz, he can answer that question specifically and without hesitation, because Jeff Reitz, 3,000 days ago, began his journey, his daily journey to Walt Disneyland. That's right, he went to Disneyland he's 5 days short, 5 days short of 3,000 consecutive days at Disneyland. You're hearing that correct. 10 years in a row. He's 50 years old, started when he was 40. Jeff Reitz set a world record.
If you had it to do over again, would you do any part of it differently?
Well, if I had it to do over again, I think... No, I don't think I would. I don't know. I hope I don't have to do it over again.
Trees of green and red roses too.
That was Walt Disney himself. 3,000 days. I got to tell you, I don't think you could pay me enough to go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland 3,000 days in a row.
Well, I see skies of blue and I see clouds of white and the brightness of day. I like the dark and the
thinking. Have you ever read any books by Somerset Maugham? W. Somerset Maugham. He's famous for a lot of books. My favorite of his books, oh, it's escaping me. I've got it on audio only. I need to get it in my library. The Moon and Sixpence. Moon and Sixpence. Fantastic book about a fictional character called Charles Strickland, but a little bit based on a real-life painter that went to Tahiti. But it's just a thing. I love his work. But here's a quote from W. Somerset Maugham. He says, "The common idea that success spoils people by making them vain, egotistic, and self-complacent is erroneous. In fact, on the contrary, success makes you, for the most part, humble, tolerant, kind. See, failure," said W. Somerset Maugham, "makes people bitter and cruel." It is a wonderful world on top of the world. I'm so grateful you're here. Our question today, brought to you by Captain's Coffee, was, what's one teacher that really made a difference in your life? Dave says, this is Dave from Homer, East End of Homer. Dave says, circa 1980, I was in high school on the job construction class, and my teacher was Mr. V, short for Vailupuk. Easy for me to say. I'll never forget the day when we were supposed to install a wall air conditioner in school office full of high school girls. Wait a minute, where's this going? Mr. V showed us the wall and spot where the air conditioner was going. He then took us outside and said, never let an opportunity to go to waste. We agreed to go back inside and stage a big fight and slammed our hammers into the wall. I'll never forget the look on those girls' faces that excited the room. I kept in touch with that teacher for many years later. Great show. Thank you, Dave. So I get it. So you're going to put something through the wall. So they staged a fight. I get it. Slammed hammers through the wall. They didn't realize you were actually just making a hole that you were going to make. That's good. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's see here. Willie says that would be Mr. Keenan made a big difference in his life. Eighth grade history. He made it real to me. I mean, he instilled that in me more than 50 years later, and it's still relevant. He's passed now. I can still recall his lectures. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Eighth grade, seventh grade, these formative years, high school, really sticks with you. What you say today will be remembered tomorrow. How you handle a situation today is going to be remembered. Thank you for sharing that, you guys. I appreciate that. Jordan Peterson's a guy that's making a big difference in a lot of people's lives. He's got 12 rules for life. I jotted down his 12 rules out of the book this morning. Number one is stand up straight with your shoulders back. Treat yourself like someone you're responsible for helping. Befriend people who want the best for you. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. Set your house in order before you criticize the world. Pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. Tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Assume whoever you're listening to knows something you don't. Be precise in your speech. Do not bother children while they're skateboarding. Let kids be kids. And number 12, pet a cat when you encounter one in the street. That's the only one I take exception with because I'm allergic to cats. And this little island in Cedar Key, Florida that we go to, it's called Cedar Key. It's a little island in Florida. And there's feral cats on the streets. And no, not advisable to. In fact, on the Big Island, we were there a year and a half ago on the Big Island. There's feral cats all over the Big Island. Don't touch them. Don't pet them. That's the one thing I say, no, Jordan, no, don't. Let's see here. Paul says, okay, Chris, I will play this round today. First of all, it wasn't Shirley, as you said. Surely you had her as a teacher. Anyway, my favorite and most influential, everybody's a comedian today. My most favorite and influential teacher was Mr. Lloyd, who set me on a career path pursuing design, building, and quality control. What I really liked about him is a detailed and sequential approach to design and build. I applied this to many aspects of my life. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that very much. It's not too late for you to get yours in. Well, it might be. Probably is, but you can still try. Your word today is presented by TBC Radio. Radio on purpose. You can go to tbcradio.com or call Josiah 803-9424, 803-9424. Tell me you want to get your business out on the air right here in your own backyard with TBC Radio. Today's word, pangloss. Pangloss. I think it's more fun to say pangloss, but it could be pangloss, however you want to say it. P-A-N-G-L-O-S-S, pangloss. It's an 18th century proper name, noun. Meaning is a person who is optimistic regardless of the circumstances. You might be thinking to yourself right now, well, Chris, are you pangloss? Hold that thought for just 1 second, because here's where it's derived from. Dr. Pangloss, a character created by the 18th century French writer Voltaire. Now, Dr. Pangloss was a bit of an idiot because he was optimistic and faced off everything to a fault, to a point where he couldn't see reality. So it's a bit of an insult, I guess, but I'll take it, because a person who is optimistic regardless of circumstance to me is somebody who can win, can lead, and we might want to think about following. We'll use it in a sentence. When a pessimist calls me a panglostic fool, I smile and say, yes, if hope for the future is foolish, then a fool be I. Pangloss. Thank you, TBC Radio. What a great word. Harvard professor of psychology Daniel Gilbert said, our imagination has a hard time telling us how we will think about the future when we get there. It is hard to predict how we're going to think about something once we've accomplished it. I still maintain that you and I both want those long-term goals out in front of us. We want to think about, even though we can't necessarily predict exactly how we're going to feel, that the last thing you want is to not really have a place to stretch to, reach to, aim for, and accidentally pass it by and only learn later, oh, yeah, I've been here for years. Because you might be in paradise right where you are with what you've got. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. For myself and Mr. Becker, I'm Chris Story, reminding you to look forward in life, learn from your past, and never forget that the good life is lived right here in the present. See you Thursday.